A yellow frame encompasses a black rectangle. National Geographic documentary films. Colorful dots swirl and dance in air, then merge into an irregular zigzag. Screen Australia. On a black background, white scratches appear. They form the rough shape of a dog's head. A circle encompasses the head. Dog woof. A lotus. NSW government.
If he does come at you, then you simply do not have a chance.
A tiny dog in a circle. Dog. A cartoon man in a red circle. Madman. The logo puffs into purple smoke. A diver stands on a dinghy.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine. An eating machine.
Monsters like these came to dominate the seas some 350 million years ago.
She leaps off the dinghy and plunges into the water.
Never was an animal like that. Never. A power. And the aggressiveness of the thing is beyond belief.
Ancient Indian surprised his teeth for arrows.
Of the man-eater that is still alive.
And I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one up close.
We've got a panic on our hands.
The shark is always the winner.
A human skull sits in a cabinet. A shark tooth lies by bones.
Pajamas. Change of shirt. Am I good to go for Fiji?
An older woman packs a suitcase.
I'm going to be wearing a pink wetsuit for the bull sharks, and I used to in the early days, and then I was asked not to wear it anymore because it made me stand out and the bull sharks noticed. Well, I thought that was good, but apparently it's not.
She grabs her pink wetsuit.
I'm looking forward to it because I'll be seeing a lot of good friends.
She packs the suit.
I haven't seen them for more than a year. I usually get out of the water screaming my head off with joy, jumping around. I love it, I love it. And I do, I love it. And maybe I'm a bit funny. Actually, but I do. I just love going down there. I love seeing that big bull shark here. Down.
She bares her teeth. National Geographic Documentary Films presents.
Now, the spearfishing, were you successful?
Well, I was pretty good at it. I was about as good as a girl can get. One day I was down there, a shark came along and frightened us out of the water. It's quite exciting.
Screen Australia presents. Hands grab swim fins. Old footage appears. A woman puts them on.
They don't have hands. They feel with their nose, or in very few cases, they feel with their teeth.
In association with Screen NSW, in association with T-Dog and Dog Wolf, a Wild Bear Entertainment production.
Val has a little bump on the bottom of her chin. She said it's a shark's tooth.
I can feel it in there. It's very painful.
Photos of young Val. She swims with sharks. In present, she packs her suitcase. Produced by Bettina Dalton.
Somebody, thanks for coming in. You've been telling us for so many years that sharks are really nice fellas.
Well, I haven't changed my opinion.
A boat rushes through water. A film by Sally Aitken. Valerie zips up her suitcase. The diver, Valerie, leans over the boat. A title, Playing with Sharks. A wide-view snorkel covers her face. She stands. At Valerie's house, she steps onto a covered porch and walks outside.
Are you serious when you compare sharks to dogs?
Yes, because it's like any animal, once you get to know it and understand it, you have a different attitude towards it altogether. And there are all sorts of dogs, and there are all sorts of sharks. And the dangerous dogs probably bite more people and kill more people than the dangerous sharks in the world.
Valerie uncovers a dinghy. A shark swims in blue water.
We know so very little about what's in the ocean.
Jean-Michel Cousteau, diver.
And Valerie was one of the pioneers. Now, of course, her name was connected to sharks, sharks, sharks. But she was doing many other things.
Jeremiah Sullivan, marine biologist.
Most of us were afraid of, but we were always cautious and concerned when we saw a bunch of sharks around, with the exception of Valerie, who thought that was going to be a good time.
A shark snaps a fish and thrashes on a rope.
People were making a lot of bold claims about sharks and so on and how dangerous they were. Valerie was the only one that I had met at that stage that felt they weren't that dangerous and you could actually play around with them. Long before anybody else.
Valerie grins at a frayed rope. A man and woman float on a small wooden platform.
The first time I ever could see underwater, I was 14 years old.
She snorkels in blue water.
And I saw a piece of kelp. I thought it was amazing. It was going to and fro, to and fro.
Sea plants sway with ocean currents. Green grass-like plants move with the water.
And I knew I had to see more.
A photo of younger Valerie.
I would slide into the water. From the world that we all know.
A wave rushes over rocks.
Into another world. A different world. Alien.
A school of fish drift. Two lobsters walk on the seabed.
I was not part of that world. I was just a visitor.
A red, pink, and white patterned flatworm undulates through the water.
And I think that was the start.
White flower-like plants wave. A little fish briskly swims. A red octopus rushes to a rock formation and releases a cloud of ink. White waves crash upon rocks. Black and white footage of little Valerie wading in water.
My father had stomach ulcers, and he found it very easy to eat fish. And he wanted to please your parents, and I skirt spearing fish. And I was very good at it.
Young Valerie catches a fish.
Back in the 50s, there was so much marine life, you learned how to hunt, how to stalk a fish while holding your breath. The first shark I saw was a grey nurse.
A grey nurse shark swims slowly amongst rocks.
I was just terrified, expecting to be attacked at any minute.
The shark swims away, tail waving back and forth. Valerie surfaces, wave break onto rocks.
We got out and we're all right. I just knew that they were killers.
People crowd a beach.
The main holiday hazard in Britain is the weather, but in Australia, it's sharks.
Wendy Benchley, president, Shark Savers Wild Aid.
No one wants to be bitten by a monster. When you think back to the 50s and 60s, the saying was, good shark is a dead shark. That was it.
Outside the harbor, sharks are caught every day by big game fishermen.
In those days, we didn't have the information that we have today. Nature was considered a dark, evil, you know, space, something to do with the dark side.
Valerie swims with a long pole.
Spearfishing was nerve-wracking. Every single step of the way was an adventure, a step into the unknown. And every time you did it, you came out with a little more knowledge. I understood my prey.
1958, men ride dinghies into waves. Men roll into the water. They load and hang fish on shore.
I eventually joined a club. It's very exciting. There were dozens of clubs through Sydney.
People pose with fish.
Spearfishing was very much a macho man sport. When they had the first lady spearfishing championships, there were seven women. There was about 700 men. There were just so many men.
Men heft large fish on shore. Women grin.
In the 50s, diving was a completely male culture. I've talked with Valerie about what it was like to be a woman in this male-dominated culture. Because it was that way, she had to be stronger and sharper, better than everybody, to make it.
Photos of Valerie with her catches flash by.
She was quite lethal. She would have been the Lady Slayer back then.
She poses within the bony jaw of a shark.
And interestingly, most of the great environmentalists and conservationists, they all started with hunting because they were the only ones who were out involved in these things.
People push a boat into the water. A nurse shark swims by.
Valerie is responsible for the boy's safety. She will demonstrate how to deal with dangerous sharks.
Valerie stretches a band and dives overboard. A shark writhes. Valerie surfaces at the boat.
This dangerous shark is the largest ever killed by a lady skin diver anywhere in the world.
She grabs the shark's tail and ascends.
I never killed one shark.
Older Valerie looks off. Younger Valerie pulls the shark onto the boat.
I wish I hadn't. But at the time, there was no one to say this is a bad thing. They only said, oh, very good. Killed a lot of fish. The attitude was there was so much life in the ocean. You could take what you wanted and never make a difference.
Waves roll on shore.
A girl like Valerie Hayes knows that when she gets ready to dive, she must also be ready to defend herself from the dangers that are always there below the surface.
I think all mothers wanted their daughters to get married and have children. It's not that I didn't want children. I wanted to do other things. I wanted to have my own special life.
A photo of young Valerie.
Well, when I was 12, I was diagnosed with polio, infantile paralysis.
Children's legs sit locked into wheelchairs.
They told me until I could walk, I could not go home. I hated it in there.
A nurse tends to a child.
They started sending me books. They sent me the great classics. Lorna Doone, Treasure Island, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Green and white waves rush onto rocks.
I just love those books. I read them over and over. I read Huckleberry Finn so many times. It took me on a mental adventure.
Made up my mind I was going home. I struggled and struggled every day. And in 9 weeks, I walked out and my mother came and got me. They said I couldn't and I did it.
Home footage of Valerie plays. She spins. She rides a horse.
I'm grateful that it didn't paralyze me for life.
She roller skates.
I've read those books and it made me see of all the possibilities and the planet. I didn't know how to achieve any of them, but I knew they existed.
Her dive becomes Valerie spearfishing under the water.
But no one's anxious to be slaving over a hot stove, least of all mermaid Valerie Hayes. Anyone who's interested in having their picture taken by a mermaid, just line up, please. When someone like Valerie comes down here with a camera, you can bet all the best-looking fellas will offer to pose for her.
Valerie aims a large camera at a lobster.
The club used to have these trips, you know. Ron was there. I noticed him because I used to see him spearfishing. He was different to the other guys.
Photos of a smiling man in swim briefs flash by.
Ron had won 4 Australian national titles and the world title at the state. He was the best.
Voice of Ron Taylor, spearfishing champion and filmmaker.
I was looking for adventure in the underwater world, and I used to take my 16mm camera out with the team of spear fishermen that I was with in those days, just experimenting.
I used to be there, and he would ask me if I'd model for him. And I was extremely flattered. Of course I modeled for him.
Ron lowers a wide-view snorkel and tips overboard. He holds a camera. Valerie swims by in a striped bikini.
I clearly remember the first time that I filmed Valerie underwater. It was very interesting, Valerie, because she was very attractive.
I had fun. Just flirting away, I guess.
Ron's camera follows her as she swims through the water.
I made my own bikinis. And then one day, Ron said, I'm going to buy you a bathing costume. It was yellow.
A yellow one-piece. Ron adjusts her head.
She was interested in the underwater world like I was. She was aggressive. She wasn't one of these wimpish women.
She swims by a large fish.
And then we decided to get married.
Ron and Valerie stand together in a photo.
I was the woman's spearfishing champion. Ron was the world spearfishing champion. We were at the top of the trade.
Two sharks swim toward Ron.
Ron and I discovered spearing a fish often attracted sharks.
A shark shakes a fish. Rodney Fox, spearfishing champion.
During that period of time, divers were dragging four or five fish through the water. And of course, we know now that if you want to attract sharks, you get fish blood and you drag it through the water. And so we were just being bait, basically, for a shark.
He tightens his lips and swallows. A photo of a shark bite.
We heard about Rodney's shark attack with horror. He was a friend.
A row of stitches circles Rodney's upper arm and down his torso.
There was 485 stitches in my chest and 94 in my hand here. And every tendon except this one was broken. They had to stitch them back again.
Do you hope to continue skin diving one day?
I'll get in the water somewhere sometime, but I don't know.
A boat labeled NSW rolls on a dirt road, 1965.
We knew it was a great white shark. Let's fish him. We were excited about the possibility of getting footage of this beast.
On a beach.
Rodney had the idea of doing a great white shark trip.
A ship churns along the coastline.
Of course I wanted to go at the time, but I couldn't go. The owner and captain did not want a woman on board.
Rodney arranged an expedition with Alf Dean. Alf Dean held the world record for big game fishing for great white sharks.
Alf loads a fishing rod, Douglas Seifert, Dive Magazine.
At the time, other people had photographed other sharks, but there were no images of great white sharks alive underwater.
I'd never ever seen it before on other people's documentaries, so I could see the potential.
After a couple of days, we pulled up at Memory Cove, and Alf said, I've caught and seen quite a few sharks here. So he started his whale oil drip.
Whale oil drips into a bucket. A shark swims.
We got up in the morning and saw great big sharks.
Fins cut the surface of the ocean.
The very first time I saw it, the hair stood up on the back of my neck because it was such a big shark.
A great white surfaces and snatches a trailing fish. It snaps on the fish.
Holy cow, that's a mean looking shark.
People film the shark.
Ron actually sat on the duck board at the back filming some footage. and saw submarines with teeth.
Foot tied to the boat, Ron and the camera hang off the duckboard. A shark slowly cruises by, belly white, top and side slate gray. Ripples of light shine on the shark's body.
I thought this is a very impressive animal. I thought I had something unique there.
The shark's jaw opens and closes.
It's like in a lion, I guess. It's a special beast.
The shark chews on fish. Alf's rod reel unspools.
After that, I hate to say it, it was just kill, kill, kill.
The group tows the shark's body on deck. The shark hangs upside down, tied around the back fin. Alf poses with the body.
On that trip, Alf thought it was his duty to catch and kill as many sharks as he could, and we ended up on the boat, 5, 10 to 14 foot great white sharks spread out.
They hose off a shark's jaws.
And that was actually the first time I started to realise with all these great big incredible animals just killed and lost forever.
Bodies of sharks lie motionless on the deck.
I thought it was sad. Really changed the way I looked at the world and spearfishing. After that, Ron said, actually, killing fish upsets me. I'm not doing this anymore.
People toss fish in wooden crates.
We put our spears down and never did another competition again. We said, from now on, I'm shooting them with my camera.
She and Ron hop into the ocean. Dr. Sylvia Earle, marine scientist.
It was personal revelation that made that transition. Experience that convinced them. It wasn't somebody telling them, they could see for themselves. And I admire that.
Underwater, Valerie's blonde hair floats around her head. A rust and white-colored spiny lionfish swims by. She and Ron peer at it through snorkel goggles and cameras. A long silver skinny fish swims away.
We were selling more and more footage for television.
Valerie plays with a sea lion.
They wouldn't just buy any underwater film.
She floats through clouds of jellyfish.
They wanted dangerous marine animals, or what they thought were dangerous. They wanted drama.
A stingray.
And if I could be in the film, fluttering around amongst all these creatures, that was even better.
She lifts a brown-colored eel. She holds and releases an octopus.
Valerie would go down and just pick up anything and bring it up and play with it, and just, it was remarkable.
She rubs the sides of long eel. Their jaws open and close.
Here's this beautiful Australian gal doing all these crazy things that nobody's supposed to be able to do.
Ron often asked me to do very dangerous things. He used to call me sometimes, give it a go, Valerie. Whether I was cooking a new food or...
A shark tail hits her goggle.
Diving with sharks.
Ron touches her shoulder. She holds her head and looks around. In a photo, Valerie looks out at the water.
I wouldn't say I thought I was a Bond girl. Everything I did was to make money.
She smiles from the cover of a magazine.
Ron was always wanting new camera equipment.
He turns a lathe.
He made all his own housing. He was a genius. I'd say the cleverest man I've ever met.
They load equipment into a car.
We did whatever we could to make a living out of what we love to do.
They tow their boat from their house. On the water, Valerie throws an anchor overboard.
Do you want me to feed them those little tiny fish, or do you want me to save it up for the big trout?
There's not many of those little fish around. We'll look for the tiny yellow shells in the dendrophilia.
He lowers the camera.
Back in the 1960s, there were a handful of people in the world that were shooting film underwater. There was Hans Haas in Germany. There was Stan Waterman in the United States. There was Cousteau in the south of France.
We saw Jacques Cousteau on television. He had a lot of money from the French government.
A submarine.
And they had a lot of people to help him.
Jacques grins in a photo.
Whereas we didn't have any of that. One thing we did copy a little bit from Captain Jack, he always wore a red beret. So I always wore a bright hair ribbon. That was my trademark.
Her red ribbon streams behind her. Valerie flops about on the sandy seabed. Clouds of sand float around her.
The tailors were out there doing their thing. They were owning and exploring, you know, the marine environment by themselves. I mean, it was just run of Valerie. This was the golden age of new underwater information.
Her passing fins kick up clouds of dark algae. Topside, people toss large cages into the water.
Very little was known around the world about sharks in those days. You can watch it from the boat all you want. You can cut it up and study everything about it and say, oh, it will do this, and be a great scientist. But you still haven't seen it underwater in action.
Clad in her red wetsuit and red ribbon, Valerie sinks into a cage.
The first great white shark I saw was like a freight train coming out of the mist.
A large shark slowly swims to the cage. Its large black eye peers at her as it passes. Sunlight dapples the shark's gray skin. It swims away. A sticker on Valerie's boat reads, "Diver below, proceed with care."
After that, I never missed a trip to go out and see sharks. I found them very exciting. And this little tin boat is sort of freedom when you get on the ocean.
Men unhitch the boat from a car.
The whole world is yours.
They roll it down a sandy hill and onto the beach. Older Valerie walks onto the beach.
We were both always thinking of ways to find an area where there's good sharks.
From above, waves break over the edge of a reef.
Marion Reef is in the middle of the Coral Sea. A fisherman knew about it, and he said, "There's a lot of sharks out there."
Valerie drops anchor and splashes fish in the water.
So we baited up, and we realized this was a good spot to film.
Underwater, Valerie scrapes a bait fish. Sharks swim over the coral reef. Valerie floats above. A shark snaps at the fish body. She takes a photo. The shark spins and swims away. Ron watches. Valerie feeds a shark.
So we got to know them better than most other animals.
The sharks wrestle with the fish bodies. Ron and Valerie's boat zips along.
Next year we went back, and before we even dropped anchor, the sharks came up to our dinghy. They knew the sound of our boat. They knew there'd be food. And we realized a shark can learn.
She tosses the fish on a rope.
And you can teach one a very simple trick very quickly if you want to. But I knew what would make a good image. I was a photographer. It was a nice pink coral. And I knew where the sun was going to set. I started waving a bit of food around in front of the coral. And a white chip came in straight away and I bonked him on the nose and wouldn't give it to him.
The shark twitches and swims off, then circles back to her.
Eventually he came over the pink coral and I gave him the food. I did that twice and he knew if he swam over the pink coral, a certain direction, he'd get a piece of food, just a small piece of fish. And it worked. It worked.
Sunlight pierces the water.
The shark was exactly what I had planned.
The shark swims over a pink coral.
They learn faster than you can teach a dog.
Jean-Michel Cousteau.
She had the courage to face up to species which we didn't know very much about in those days, connecting with nature, and she was able to share her experience and adventures with the public. She helped everybody, including us, because she would show us what she was doing when historically we were staying away from them. Well, she didn't. She was the one getting close to it. And she would follow it, and she was fascinated to learn not just about the way it looks, but the behavior of that fish.
Hordes of sharks wrestle. Red liquid billows from above.
And then we got our very big chance.
Words appear. Blue water, white death. 1969.
Blue water, white death, the film, was dreamt up by Peter Gimbel, an American, and he had a fascination with sharks, and he wanted to make a feature film.
A photo of a shark with wide open jaws.
Peter had seen two of Ron's documentaries, and he knew we could work with sharks.
We're looking for the animal that I think is considered to be the most dangerous predators still living in the world.
On a boat, a sign, dangerous, bathing prohibited.
Peter Gimbel had us along to guarantee someone there who knew how to handle these beasts. And he gave us, Ron and I, the adventure of our lives.
A large black and white boat, the Terrier 3, cuts through the water.
We set off in search out of South Africa, and we followed the whaling fleet because they told us that huge great white sharks came in to feed on the harpooned whales.
Stan Waterman, underwater filmmaking pioneer.
How far ahead of us are the other ships now?
As an underwater shooter, I just saw in it a wonderful adventure, a search taking us to the Indian Ocean, searching for the great white shark.
I think that Peter and Ron and myself and Valerie gradually found our courses narrowing down onto sharks, this charisma that they have.
Jane Jenkins, pro photographer and friend.
Blue Water White Death was probably the first of its type ever made. And to have a female in there, and a pretty blonde female in there with all those males.
Well, you're going to use the fire cylinder first.
You turn this one off and turn this one on.
Yeah.
She had to earn her way on that boat.
Valerie suits up.
Which camera's going?
This one here.
There's a shark right under the bow.
Well, there's the other one. There's another one. There's another one. There are four down here now. Four sharks. Now I lost the other, like trying to count chickens.
Voice of Peter Gimbel, filmmaker.
With this amount of food in the water, we expect the great white. But he doesn't come.
But other sharks came up from the great depths We never saw the bottom. There was no land.
Tiny black and white fish swim beside a shark.
We'd never encountered oceanic white tips before.
A photo of a white tip.
A species of shark responsible for more human deaths than all the other sharks in the world put together.
A cage lowers into the water.
The idea of getting into the water outside of the cage, in the middle of all of those sharks and everything, was pretty mind-blowing. But we thought we might get away with it.
When it was decided that we would leave the cage, I thought, we'll die. Now we die.
In a photo, Valerie looks down.
Never for a second did I think of not going.
A skiff skips across the waves. Underwater, Valerie looks around the cage. Sharks swim around her. A large shark swims close to her cage.
Carcharhinus longimanus. He's the one that will take 200 people in the water after a ship sinks. They come in packs.
A white tip bumps the cage.
We had noticed that before they bit the whale, even though it was dead, the shark would bump it two or three times, then bite it. And we figured that the shark would bump us before it bit, and if we bumped them back hard, we could make ourselves a place in the pack.
The cage door opens. Ron floats out, camera in hand. A shark swims by Valerie's cage. Red liquid churns the water. A shark cruises by Ron. It bumps our view.
The cameramen, they all had these giant housings made out of metal. I had a stick.
She swims out, stick in hand. Sunlight spots the blue water as sharks swim nearby. A shark slips beneath Valerie. Another bumps a camera.
We went into another world.
Valerie bumps a shark with her stick.
A world that existed 20 million years ago.
She taps another.
We were accepted as other marine animals come to feed on the whale. But only after we had made a place for ourselves with the pack.
She pokes another shark. A fin bumps our view. Dr. Sylvia Earle.
It seemed to some just plain foolhardy what they were doing.
A shark swims through a cloud of Valerie's bubbles.
But what they did in the end was to provide the evidence that if we mind our business, they mind theirs. It's mutual respect.
A shark swims close behind a cameraman. Valerie pokes it away.
Ah, you wouldn't believe. You couldn't believe. It's fantastic.
On deck.
Everything happened. They hit the whale and blood went everywhere. Stan and Peter were miles away. They were just surrounded by sharks. And look, there must have been a dozen sharks charging in on them all at once. And then, as Peter said, he just kept his finger on the button and spun in circles. That's all he could do.
Howard Hall, underwater filmmaker.
Well, certainly they were exhilarated when they came up from those dives because they didn't know that they could survive it. In those days, people didn't dive with sharks.
A photo of the suited-up dive team.
But when you look at those images, 100 huge oceanic white-tipped sharks. That can't happen today. There aren't enough sharks. And those images, I think, represent a historical record of what there was at one time. And that's incredibly valuable.
The Terrier 3 steams across the ocean.
We were still looking for the great white shark.
I'm sorry, and I'm not willing to accept these predictions. I still think we can attract a great white shark to this wreck.
Ron and I tried to tell him where to go. We knew we were in the wrong place.
A monkey scampers down rigging. Sea lions loll on a large rock.
Hello, darling. Hello, baby.
Eventually, Peter did listen. We all went to South Australia.
Shark fins cut the water.
Here he comes in now.
Here he comes in.
The great white.
Oh, he's got to be 12.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It hits their dinghy.
The public loves, of course, danger.
Yeah, I said you'd get it. I knew you'd get it.
Add to that a beautiful woman. You have a successful documentary in the makeup of it.
Headlines about their film.
I really didn't realize what a big film it was going to be.
Here it comes now, right up.
I've got gimbals to meet it with joy in there.
Right up towards the
cave. Carl Roessler.
There was genius in the making of the movie. Valerie set the standard by being the first glamorous female to go out and have these dangerous adventures. And I was hooked.
Get back in, Ron.
Silly fool, I don't know what he's doing out of the cage. There, look at him, sitting on top of the cage.
I'm from a little village in Wales, and our local policeman, he had posters of her up on his wall as a child. It's worldwide. She was really, really out there.
Get him, hands inside that cage.
Valerie slips into the cage.
Valerie in Blue Water, White Death, she was a revelation to me. She was strong.
A shark snaps at a fish. Valerie pokes the shark's underbelly. She wiggles her fingers. In present day, Valerie slices a tomato and crushes sea salt over it.
There were no divers anywhere who hadn't seen Blue Water, White Death. And among them was a diver called Peter Benchley.
A photo of a man and a smiling woman wearing dive gear.
Valerie and Ron were definitely Peter's idols. He was aware of the excitement of sharks.
A man in glasses smirks.
Peter had an idea for a novel about a fish. And I said, Peter, I just don't think that's going to work.
A man in glasses flips through a book on sharks. From below, a person splashes atop an inflatable cushion. A young boy sinks. Red bubbles rise. On shore, the man in glasses stares. Valerie pilots the small boat to dock.
Universal Pictures got us a book from Peter Benchley called Jaws.
They sent us the galley proofs and a letter saying, do you think this story would make a good feature film? We both read it and Ron wrote back and said yes.
A woman swims in dark water. She is pulled under, then yanked back and forth.
Now this is not a boat accident. And it wasn't Jack the Ripper.
He splashes his face with water.
It was a shark.
A close-up photo of Valerie staring off.
Jaws was our first big Hollywood deal. Ron said, I've got to do a good job here. It could be important. They had already decided that Steven Spielberg was going to be the director. He said, get the live white shark footage first.
A sign, welcome to the city of Port Lincoln.
We had done this sort of thing so often, going out and trying to get a performance out of a shark.
1974, the man with glasses pours bait into a bait bucket. He tosses a line overboard, Rodney Fox.
I was pretty proud to get a call asking me if I could organise a major expedition, and at that time quite young, and I was pretty excited.
Rodney throws bait. The man tosses bait overboard.
Peter postulated in Jaws that the shark was a big one, a 16-footer. And of course, Spielberg decided to make it into a 25-foot shark.
A shark surfaces before the man in glasses. He stands back abruptly.
And this caused a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between Universal and Ron, backwards and forwards. Steven Spielberg was very young. It was his second major film. He looked to me like a teenager.
I said, Stephen, there's a problem here. Our white sharks are only about 13 feet long. And he said, no problem. We'll send out a half-sized man in half-sized cages.
Valerie looks at tiny dummies.
Everything we filmed was half-size to make our sharks look bigger.
Skippy was my abalone dive boat. We used my little boat as the stand-in for the boat in the Jaws movie.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
A man hangs off Skippy and lowers the tiny caged dummy.
They sent out this little man called Carl Rizzo. He was a half-sized man, perfectly formed.
Who used to actually be a stand-in for children on horseback riding and stuff. The little guy comes up to me and he says to me, when they pump oxygen into you, do you have to suck it in or is it pushed in? Which I knew straight away he had no idea how to dive.
A slate for the movie. Two boats float near each other.
He was allergic to the sun, he was allergic to salt water, and he was very allergic to sharks. And I remember when he saw his first great white, and he was very nervous.
Sun shines on a shark as it swims to the boat. It snaps at a plastic bit.
He looked at this big thing swimming up behind the boat, and he said, I should have asked for more money.
If I can get him close enough to this cage, I think I could get him in the mouth or the eye.
That shark put that cage to pieces.
You got any better suggestions?
I'm in the small half-sized boat looking after him. I wound him down in the winch.
Carl lowers into the cage.
When Carl saw those great white sharks swimming around, he was terrified.
In the blue depths, a tiny cage and man hang suspended in the water. A shark swims by.
The director yelled out, quick, pull up Carl, he's drowning. So I wound him to the top and I was saying, what's the matter? And he said, my mask, it was filling up with water.
It was his reluctance that saved his life.
White water splashes. A photo of a shark.
I was about 10 meters down, filming up. There's a shark there, and I'm thinking, why isn't Carl getting in the cage?
Rodney was about to pick him up and pop him in. And a shark came in and it bumped into the cage and got its head stuck in the bridle.
A shark crashes on the cage in the movie.
And I picked up the 60mm camera and I shot it on film.
The shark's tail thumps the boat. Water churns around the shark. Steven Spielberg, director.
When we were shooting the Australian sequences of the great white sharks, one of the great white sharks jumped into the cage boat.
With a horrible cracking sound, the bit of the decking where the winch was attached to the boat broke off.
It's giving way!
The movie mast cracks and falls.
I saw Rodney pull Carl back.
The shark grabbed between its jaws, which can close and squeeze at 21 tons per square inch, grabbed and twisted a cage and then sounded with the cage.
And everything broke off and came tumbling down past me.
The shark got out of it and swam away. We had what we call a good performer. It wasn't in the script, but they put it in because it was good.
The crew hauls up broken bits and sails away. On a talk show...
Well, how did you get sharks to do that? How do they get a shark to do all those things on cue? Oh,
well, we better not tell the secret. Well, no, you'll have to... That you put them in training at least 3 weeks before the film.
A poster for the movie features a woman swimming above a great white shark.
The 1975 release of Jaws is considered the first Hollywood blockbuster.
Have you seen Jaws?
Who hasn't seen Jaws by now?
Tale of a murderous white shark on the loose.
We just absolutely had no idea that people would be queuing up for miles to see it.
The line is about 12 people abreast of around the block.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Ron and Valerie Taylor.
It was very well done. And we never expected this to happen, the reaction.
We thought it would just be a third-rate Hollywood B-grade movie that hardly anybody would ever see.
It has already made more money than any motion picture in history.
And of course, I jumped out of my seat just like everyone else because the whole theater explodes with terror.
And some people are now seeing phantom sharks every time they go near the water.
People's always coming up to us and asking us on the tower, is that Jaws or whatever?
I'm too young to die.
A headline, don't go near the water.
I can't tell you how many people said, you go diving in the ocean? It's full of sharks.
In the movie, people rush onto a beach. Jean-Michel Cousteau.
When I saw Jaws, I was very devastated because I said, nobody's going to want to go in the ocean.
Photos from the film set.
Jaws is a fictitious story. And it has not only astounded Ron and I, but it astounded Universal and Richard Zanuck and David Brown. But the public believed it.
Shark!
We were amazed. You don't walk around New York worrying about King Kong. It must be an instinctive subconscious fear of being eaten alive.
In the movie, a man slides into the shark's jaws.
Son of a...
An air canister explodes, sending dark water and debris high in the air. Debris falls. The remainder slowly sinks into the depths.
But yours did. It did set things back.
In a photo, Valerie looks over her shoulder.
The thing that I regret is that people went out and killed sharks. Everywhere.
Photos of men holding the snouts of dead sharks.
We became very upset by this.
A lashed shark thrashes against a boat. Peter Benchley, author.
Valerie and Ron Taylor, the great Australian cinematographers and divers, called me and said, people are going out on these slaughter trips to prove some sort of macho nonsense about themselves. And sharks are being killed left and right, and we are worried that there may be actually an endangerment of some of the species.
Peter Benchley said he'd have never written the book if he'd known what the aftermath would have been.
People who saw the movie Jaws are afraid of sharks. Have we reason to be afraid of them?
You should treat them with caution, but you don't go around being afraid of motor cars.
Universal took Ron and I to America, and we toured the states doing every talk show, telling people that sharks were not like the shark in Jaws.
But there's an interesting point that not all sharks are dangerous.
You say that sharks are not dangerous, and yet both of you took part in two movies that portray sharks as being very dangerous. How do you justify something like that?
We have been criticized for promoting sharks as being man-eaters and dangerous, but Jaws is actually a fictional film, but it's such a realistic film that people tend to believe sharks are dangerous.
I don't think that people should stay off the beaches because they're afraid of being attacked by a shark. They're much more likely to fall over and break a leg on the way to the beach than they are of being attacked once they're in the water.
Ron, Valerie Taylor, thank you very much. We'll be right back after this message.
Take the whole jaw out, teeth fall out, you put them on a gold chain and you go to the movie and see Jaws, everybody thinks you're the best.
I feel if there's a shark in the area and the swimmer stays relatively calm, there's a very good chance the shark will look at him, say, well, I don't want that, and go away. When they start panicking, there's a very good chance they'll get bitten.
Once a shark bites, what does it do to the rest of you?
Most sharks just let go. They test with their teeth.
We have the fresh teeth that have been pulled out of a shark recently.
We ran out of shark's teeth, out of shark's jaws.
It's just a killing machine.
It's more dangerous to have a backyard pool. Did you know that?
Just wish we'd had more of it to sell.
I find them very frightening, as a matter of fact.
They didn't listen to me. Frankly, they didn't care. The killing still went on.
Waves roll ashore. At home, Valerie feeds a black and white bird on her porch.
Yes. What? Oh, well, that's it, isn't it? What about you? What are you up to? Eh? Jaws gave all sharks a bad name. You know, there are over 400 species of shark in the ocean. Maybe five or six are potentially dangerous.
A shark whips away and floats through a school of fish.
Most sharks are totally harmless, like the grey nurse shark.
Douglas Seifert.
Here you have a grey nurse shark that looks like this fierce animal. Because their teeth are hanging out of their face, people think, we've got to kill that shark. I mean, they were completely exterminated off the coast of Florida. And that same thing could have happened in Australia.
Sharks float by rocks. A flash sends a shark whirling away.
They were being slaughtered. So I started writing letters, and I pleaded with the politicians, and I wanted the grey nurse to be totally protected.
Younger Valerie writes letters.
As a sparrow, I had killed one grey nurse. And now I wanted to save them. I needed to save them.
Sharks swim slowly under silvery fish.
Once I get my teeth stuck into an idea, I don't let go. There's nothing like having a good piece of underwater film and saying, see, it's harmless, it's like a dog.
She pets a shark as it swims past.
I kept at them and at them and at them.
Older Valerie writes letters.
It worked. It's now legally protected. You know, it was the first shark in the world to be protected.
Younger Valerie grins and leaps.
Valerie led the way. The huge piece of what conservation has become today all began, you know, with those little gray nurse sharks.
Valerie tried to explain and soften the ignorance to create an audience of shark lovers.
A shark snaps at a bait fish and bumps a cage.
There was that occasion where they actually had a shark that was tangled in a wire and they cut it loose.
Valerie swims outside the cage.
When you see a great white struggling for life, you want to save it.
She loops rope around its back fin. Ron pulls it toward a boat.
Towing a shark tail first is something you or I might hesitate. They did not hesitate. Yes, there was risk. They put that aside. They instinctively helped the animal.
On shore, Ron straddles the shark. A sea lion watches. Ron and Valerie gather rope in the crashing surf. They unwind it from the tail fin.
Pretty dangerous thing to do. But that shark knew exactly what we were doing.
Freed, they walk the shark into deeper water. Ron works the shark's upper jaw. The shark swims off.
Wow. Not a sign of aggression. Remarkable moment.
The shark waggles its tail fin and swims away. Grinning, Valerie and Ron exit the water.
It swam out to sea and was caught by a fisherman 5 months later.
Conservation. There is no such thing on killer sharks because the general public realises they're killer sharks and that's all there is to it.
Great white sharks are in big trouble.
People haul a shark ashore.
They're a very big animal, they live a long time and they breed very slowly.
I have a file that must be half an inch thick of letters I've written to have the great white shark protected before it's too late.
You know what they're doing? They're actually feeding that garbage to the government, telling them that they're an endangered species and all that. They ought to be in jail.
The only sharks he knows, the only sharks he works with, and he does it from the safety of the back of his boat, I might add, are sharks that are fighting to survive. Those sharks he catches are trying to escape. They want to live, just as you or I would try to escape and want to live if someone hooked us in the mouth.
This is the stuff nightmares are made of.
The very word is enough to scare most people out of their
wits. Great white sharks have no peer when it comes to terror.
Anti-conservationists call sharks God's mistakes. It's just a heap of rubbish.
A shark leaps and crashes into the water.
They have been around unchanged for millions of years. That's not a mistake.
24 hours a day they're on the prowl.
I don't really think that a shark swims around saying, ha, there's a human, I must swim up and eat him. They don't think like that.
That's going to be a major problem.
Valerie snaps a photo.
Ron and I decided to prove to the general public that sharks were not out to get us.
I first got the idea for a suit of mail in 1967 when I saw a commercial diver protecting his hands with butcher's gloves.
Valerie stands in a full-body mesh metal suit.
Ron made a decision that we would try ourselves out as shark bait.
Marine biologist Jeremiah Sullivan has traveled from America to join the operation.
1980.
At the time, I was just a young student. I was studying the sensory systems of sharks as a marine biologist. The shark suit provided us an opportunity to do things that have never been done before, to really learn something.
Valerie tips overboard. She swims through a school of fish.
Everything you do in life is a calculated risk. Even a cup of tea could burn you.
A shark eats a fish.
If only he would bite me instead of a fish. It would be a good test of the suit's protective qualities.
When I heard about Ron and Valerie's desire to test the theory that it's really dangerous to go in the water, period, because they're sharks, period, that they will eat you, period, and Ron and Valerie wanting to show that, you know, it's not that way. You can bait yourself. Well, come and get me. And they had to, the sharks had to be encouraged somehow.
A skinny shark with large eyes swims past.
We still didn't really know what would happen with shark bite pressure. I knew what probably would happen, but now this was the real deal.
The shark bumps us.
Scientific opinion had the crush power of a shark's jaw as very serious indeed. Eugenie Clark, the great shark expert, said I would have the imprint of the mesh on my bones.
Valerie reaches out and gently bops the shark. It flinches away. She holds out her hand. It moves away. It bumps her head. A shark slides on top of her head. She holds up a fish. The shark flinches. She holds out her forearm. The shark bites her arm, then snaps and wiggles its head around. She bops it with the fish. It releases her arm. She flexes her hand and waves.
The sharks don't have crush power.
She gives the okay symbol. Ron films her with a shark.
This is a misconception. We knew how they would bite.
It snaps at her arm.
They rely on the cutting edge of their teeth. They try to saw through the metal and nothing happens. They can't get anything in. And we proved it was the mesh suit.
The editors of National Geographic wanted to use the story, and they sent our story to some American shark experts, and they rejected it as a hoax. But then we showed the editors our film, and the editors realized that the experts were wrong.
Valerie surfaces. A cover of National Geographic shows the shark biting Valerie's arm. The title, A Jawbreaker for Sharks.
The editors gave their referees a kick in the backside.
It's been 40 years that I've been manufacturing these things on a commercial level. Now there's a global shark diving industry, about $1 billion a year. That, to a certain degree, has been built out of the information that was gathered by use of the suits that Ron and Val and I started playing with so long ago.
In the water, Valerie grins in her mesh suit.
It used to be brilliant for blue sharks. Back then, we saw them every day. They're a nice shark. All the ones that bit me are all dead now. They were finned. They're gone. They didn't deserve that.
1995, a boat sails the ocean.
There's a big market for sharks. The shark fin is being taken in enormous numbers.
I mean, you just can't continually take something unless you replace it.
People haul a shark on board, remove the fins, and put it back into the ocean.
In the last 20 years, with the increase of the middle class in China, and the increase in shark fin soup consumption, there were 100 million sharks killed every year for 20 years.
People make and plate soup.
Sharks are part of a web of life. We've just interfered.
Discarded sharks lie on the ocean floor.
It's a terrible thing to kill a beautiful wild animal for its fin, just like killing an elephant for its tusk and the tiger for its skin. You can't expect a fisherman on a little island to not catch sharks for their fins and sell them to the Chinese traders. It means good money. I used to climb onto the shark finning boats and take photographs.
A photo of a line of shark fins.
And one day, there'll be very few sharks left, and these photographs will be proof of where they went.
Valerie opens a binder of photos.
Shark pics. Many, many, many. Sharks, sharks, sharks.
We only have 10% of the sharks left. And it really is all about knowing that leads to caring. Come on. These are magnificent creatures. Everyone an individual.
Look at them.
Everyone deserving of our respect.
Here's my mild shots that I really like.
We just need to think differently.
She holds up a strip of film.
See how he smiles? Big smile on his face. The only way to halt the complete decimation is to make enormous marine national parks where you cannot take a thing. For a long time, we could guarantee great white sharks off Port Lincoln, South Australia.
Hello, Sharky!
Right on top.
That's a different one. That's Maria, I bet you.
Fin's right out the water.
Let me look. I bet it's Maria.
She'd love the whole world to be protected if she had half a chance.
Britain, come on.
But particularly in South Australia, you know, it has been a huge part of our life.
Hurry, hurry.
Hurry.
Hurry. Please,
hurry back. Hurry back.
And great whites. I think Valerie would chain herself to a cage if she thought somebody was going to kill one unnecessarily, just to show that, hey, it's not going to hurt me.
A shark surfaces near bait.
I wanted to show all sharks have different personalities, and I'd never seen anybody hand-feeding a great white shark off the back of a boat. There were three sharks around. And one was very sweet. I wanted to give that nice shark, he was a boy shark, my fish.
She extends a line with fish toward the shark. It munches on the fish.
Mark, my nephew, was so worried about it. He hung onto my shirt and I thought, that's not going to do any good. If this thing grabs me, all it'll have left is a handful of shirt.
Fish in hand, she lowers it to the shark. It snatches it from her hand. It surfaces and grabs the rest. She feeds it another. She pats the shark's nose. It nibbles on the duckboard. She rubs its side.
Don't tell me they don't have personalities. They do.
We need people like Valerie out there to do that. And she went through government to get that area protected. Thankfully, it happened. It was named Ron and Valerie Taylor Marine Park.
A shark swims off. A pink sunset glows on the horizon.
I think it's ironic that the same place where they filmed Jaws is now a place where great white sharks are protected.
Ron and Valerie smile in a photo.
When we made our first shark film, Ron said, well, we've done the shark film, now we'll go to something else. We were still doing them. And we couldn't make a living doing the same thing with a butterfly.
He rests his head against hers.
Gee, it'd have to be some butterfly.
They turn to the golden sunset behind them. 2012.
Our marriage was a type of adventure. Ron, he liked me to be in front of his camera. He liked me to be diving with him. It's not just loving someone. You can love a lot of things. There's all sorts of love.
You can cut and you can drill it. And when the camera's in the housing, you can see where the controls are.
He didn't feel very well. And he went to our doctor. And the doctor said he has acute myeloid leukemia. He said it's always fatal.
Ron dons a wetsuit.
Getting ready for a night dive. I like night diving. It's very interesting because you see critters at night that you don't see during the day.
Suited divers wave from a skiff.
You never see Valerie afraid of anything.
She dives.
She knew he was going to die, but she didn't face it.
In the black water, silver streaks flash before her. Valerie moves through the little fish.
I didn't think Ron would ever die. I'd look at that beautiful man and think that he can't die. He was quite beautiful, I thought.
She smiles, then sobers. They sleep together on a beach, her hand on his chest.
Ron Taylor and his wife Valerie gave away hunting to become famous for their dedication to marine conservation. Mr. Taylor died peacefully at a private hospital near his Sydney home this morning.
I do miss him. I miss him so much. He was everything. Mostly I miss just cuddling up in bed, really. I go to bed and there's no Ron. It's a sort of lonely thing. I take a pillow. I put it on my left side, my pillow.
Her eyes shimmer. Above Greenland and water, Viti Levu, Fiji. A boat sails through a narrow channel. Valerie rides in a car.
Ron and I did our last dive together in Fiji with the bull sharks.
People greet young Valerie in Fiji.
It was special. Hola.
Michelle Hall, diving film producer.
I know personally that it's been difficult at times for her to dive places that she dived with Ron. I remember her saying that she thought she would never be back there again.
Younger Valerie walks through a village.
There's a lot of memories involved. Ron and Valerie were instrumental at the beginning of getting this great conservation success story started. Became very, very involved with the local community.
Valerie cuddles a baby.
Due to overfishing, you had a completely dead reef, no fish on it, nothing. And over time, by feeding the sharks, now it's the only place I know of where you're likely to see as many as 80 or 100 bull sharks.
Ben!
Bulavinekavel. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome home. Welcome home. Thank you so much.
Ben Sagata, marine biologist.
How was the trip?
Okay. So you're going to look after me.
I will.
You're going to find it hard.
Why is that?
I'm so old.
No.
And I
But I'm still young.
Oh, yeah, good. I like that. And you're very strong, I can tell.
Thank you so much. I understand that you have a nice pair of wetsuit. Is that right?
I have a pink wetsuit, but I hurt my shoulder, and I can't get it on. Anyway, I've got to get myself organized.
On a boat called the Hunter, a man ties a line to a dock. Valerie ties her red ribbon to her ponytail.
Oh, my fingers. Poor old fingers. Concentrate.
Slowly, she pulls on the pink wetsuit.
Oops. Never mind. It's all right.
A man suits up in a mesh suit.
Every dive has the potential to be a great adventure.
Men load oxygen tanks on the boat.
People think you're mad, but you're not. It's something that many people would love to do, but they're too afraid.
Young Valerie stares off. Present Valerie does the same.
I guess there's always the chance a shark could make a mistake, and that's what it would be, a mistake.
Valerie rises from a bench. The boat docks beside a large hotel.
G'day!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Hi, Valerie.
Oh, Michael!
Yeah.
Oh, darling.
How are
I'm
you?
A star. The village that owns the reef protects sharks, and they guard it like it's a rare jewel, which it is. And it has made the village much richer and given work to the village people.
So we're going to see bull shark coming from the arena and grab this tuna heads just above.
A man suits up in mesh. Younger Valerie gears up.
This is our favorite part.
Sorry.
In the present, the crew helps Valerie into her suit.
There we go. We're all sealed up there.
Yeah. I'm ready. I can't believe it. Oh, no.
I'm at it. All right. You go.
Younger Valerie slips on flippers. They fit flippers on Valerie. Both Valeries put on goggles.
Someone is going to have to get me out.
There's three big pigeons here.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
Go there. Plenty of air. I'll jump.
You over here.
They walk her to the opening. She steps out. Both Valeries plunge into the ocean. She and Ben slowly swim through blue-green water. A line of divers kneel on the seafloor. Bubbles stream from their gear. Fish swim through the bubbles. Sharks swim close to Valerie. She beckons a shark. Her red ribbon floats in the water. A shark's fin bats a camera. Atop the coral reef, sharks circle above the group. Valerie claps her hands. A shark's fin bops her.
Nature made the perfect animal. That wonder has never gone away. It's a survivor from long ago.
Another fin bats her as sharks and fish swim around them. A large shark skims her head with its belly. From above, sharks and fish swarm the group. She reaches out a hand. She points. A shark brushes past us. She clasps her hands to her chest.
Oh,
young Valerie clasps a fin and swims with a shark.
Underwater's wonderful. It's a great feeling, and so many people don't really understand it because they feel it's full of dangers, which it isn't.
Young Valerie rides with a shark. Ben and Valerie high five.
I will probably be diving when I'm in a wheelchair. There's no gravity, I can fly.
Young Valerie twirls and spins as she snorkels above the seabed. She spins and twirls in full scuba gear. They surface.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a fabulous area down here.
Yes, it is.
Very rich.
Well, a shark hit me. I hope they got it. Did you see the shark hit me?
Yes, a nice display.
He didn't mean it. But don't hesitate.
I think some of them probably recognize you.
I think so.
So close.
Yeah, they come in. I do know them. I've known them for a long time, I think.
No one can do everything. And Valerie has clearly done more than her share. But there is cause for hope. And all I have to do is look at Valerie and say, look, look what she's done. Why not you?
Anyhow, here's to the sharks.
She sips from a cup as the boat speeds beneath gray skies. With thanks to Valerie Mae Taylor. Younger and older Valerie smile. Beneath sunny skies, a boat streams through blue-green water. A white trail falls in its wake. Fade to black. Our sincere thanks to the Taylor and Hayes families for their support and involvement in the production of this film. In addition to sharks, Valerie Taylor's marine conservation legacy includes Great Barrier Reef, potato cod grouper, and Australian fur seal. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we produce this film, and pay our respect to the elders past, present, and future, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. By watching this film legally, you have supported thousands of jobs of creatives, distributors, and crew as listed below. Audio description created by Zoo Digital, funded by Disney Plus Originals, written by Sarah Ormaney, and narrated by Tansy Alexander.